I'm Matt Campbell. My brother Jeff died on 9/11. He was on the 106th floor of the North Tower attending a Risk Waters conference. He had his original inquest alongside nine other British victims back in 2013. And pretty much ever since, I've been trying to get his inquest reopened. Because there's been no investigation whatsoever into his actual cause of death, but more importantly, lots of evidence of controlled demolition, explosives, incendiaries, etc., which was not put in front of the coroner. I want to see in a coroner's court and looked at. So a couple of years ago, in August 2021, we submitted a 2,500-page application through a barrister working with, and the Attorney General sat on it for nearly 2 years, came back with a refusal to give us permission last June, and it was just for ludicrous reasons. I mean, they didn't give any reasons why we, and it certainly was an unlawful and irrational response. We threatened litigation through the process of applying to the High Court for judicial review, rather surprisingly, and we thought it was a good sign. They backed down and withdrew their decision in September last year. And so we were positive that, okay, they had to make a new decision, but it would be a positive one. And unfortunately, beginning of this year, they've made a second decision. And again, it's refusing permission. And frankly, it's more of the same. It's unlawful. They're not applying the law. And it's irrational responses from them. I can go into detail about what they said. But, in this situation again, which is so frustrating, we're 22 years on now, 23. And, we can't get my brother's inquest reopened. We are well above the threshold. If this was a normal case and it wasn't politically charged and other stuff going around, it'd be very straightforward. Like I said, we're here again. We've applying or going down the process again of raising the funds to apply for judicial review and obviously litigate against the Attorney General.
Now, if I was a bit cynical, I would say that they're almost playing you on a line here rather than applying the law. And every time you come back, they're rubbing their hands and thinking, oh, good, some more money for the lawyers. But look, you mentioned the detail a bit there. What have they been saying in this most recent decision that says, yes, it's time to block this inquest once more? Because they said, first of all, yes, you've just explained that they've said no. Then they've said yes. And then they're saying no again. So what's the reasons for the most recent no?
Well, I mean, just firstly, it's very much just lawfare. They're trying to exhaust us time wise, energy wise, and obviously money, because these things aren't cheap. They've come back with, citing reports which, the US authorities made into the collapse of the towers, but these reports were not in front of the Attorney General. In front of the coroner. So they're almost irrelevant, referring to something that was published by a different body that wasn't actually even looked at by the coroner. There's also the situation where actually nothing in those reports by NIST, that's the National Institute of Standards and Technology, actually looks at the causation or what actually happened when the building collapsed, which is, basically my brother died when those buildings were destroyed. So, they're citing things that really have no relevance. They're also saying that none of our evidence and we have a fair bit. We have eyewitness statements. We have expert statements. They're saying none of that is credible. And yet in the same breath, they're saying that they're not going to carry out their own investigation using their own experts. So, I mean, they have a duty in law. If they're going to refuse something refuse our request and cite that and our evidence is not credible, they have to give reasons. They can't just say it's not credible. And there's other strange things they have in there where they are unable to conceive what additional benefit Al-Qaeda or indeed any other malignant actor would gain by planting explosives. to destroy the towers. I mean, you could argue, why just do one plane? Obviously, it was to create terror. It was to create as much terror as possible. Secondary explosives are commonplace in terrorist attacks. So this idea that they can't envisage a situation where the towers would want to be brought down, you know, also ignores the fact that if you're just looking strictly at what Al Qaeda have done before, all those kind of operatives, you know, they tried to destroy the World Trade Center in 1993, and you know, basically said, given a bit more money and explosives, they would have brought those towers down. I mean, there's other connections. I think there's the right hand man of the blind sheik, who was still trying to get hold of the World Trade Center blueprints as late as 1999. You know, it's just that there's no real reasons why they're refusing. They're just using.
So who is responsible for this right now? Is it the Department for Justice here in the UK?
I don't really know where the Attorney General sits under that, but they're the only office or the authority that we can apply to. You know, it's a well-trodden path, this 1988 Coroner's Act.
Well, they're in the cabinet, aren't they? The Attorney General is anywhere, and they have their own office.
The Attorney General,
So this is the sort of interface of politics and the judiciary, which is always a bit of an iffy area. But look, you're mentioning how much is this costing you? Are you crowdfunding all this?
We're crowdfunding. I mean, it's disgusting because, I mean, judicial review in particular is extremely expensive. So, you know, we raised the funds last summer. I mean, amazingly, with sort of 10 days to go. And that was, a significant sum of money. And this time round, again, it's a similar large sum. We need £60,000. And the other thing that's really frustrating is it's also we're under time pressure. We have to try and raise this by the 1st of March so that gives our barrister enough time, because we have to, our absolute drop dead deadline to apply to the High Court for judicial review is the 3rd of April. You're allowed 3 months less a day from when they make the decision. It's just pressure. Like I said, it's lawfare. I mean, it's disgusting. It's so straightforward.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of people out there, Matt, I think, also understand what's going on and may be prepared to, support your crowdfunding for this, simply because just to keep that pressure on, I suppose, to keep, niggling. And who knows, we may have a new government. We may have a new Attorney General. And so this does, you're quite right. You've got to keep kind of trying. So whereabouts is the crowdfunding? Where can people find that?
The best way, it's we're using Crowdfunder, the UK website, but the easiest way of finding it is to go on ic911.org. That's the International Centre for 9/11 Justice. That's ic911.org. And you'll see on the homepage there's a link to what we're trying to do with reopening the inquest, and there's a link to the Crowdfunder website. And like I said, we've only been able to get this far because of people's generous donations made in the past. And I'm just hoping, again, we can pull it out of the bag and people can help. I mean, frankly, for me, I mean, apart from wanting my brother's, life and death discussed properly, it was all over in 3 minutes at the actual inquest they had. It was disgusting. This is probably the only and probably last chance of getting any evidence of controlled demolition explosives into a court of law, to challenge the official narrative, which I think is what they're so scared of not allowing, is that's why they're making it so hard for us. But, just like we were confident when we applied for judicial review last year, they don't have a leg to stand on. They're just trying to, exhaust us. That's what I think they're doing here. They know they're going to lose should we go to the High Court for judicial review. It's just frustrating.
Now, I mean, one of the first people I interviewed on this topic to do with, and he was, his name was Scott Forbes. He was an English guy who was actually working for Fiduciary Trust in the World Trade Center, who just happened to have the day off, and actually in another tower block across the city, watched as these planes hit the buildings and as they came down. I mean, Scott, he's no longer with us, unfortunately, but I know he was convinced that he'd seen individuals going into the building, a power down the previous weekend, and he question those in his mind at the time. But then afterwards, he believed that they were possibly there planting the explosives, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Scott Forbes story, and actually met with Scott in London about a year or so before he sadly passed away. Yeah, I mean, he was adamant, you know, that there was a power down, and we're talking no power at all, in particular to the lifts, which were, I think, access had to be made in order to plant explosives. And yeah, I mean, he was adamant that, you know, there were people in the building who perhaps shouldn't have been there. But it's, for me, it's more interesting that there wasn't actually a power down, because that's the only way they could have done it. And I think, you know, it was done in the weekend before the attacks on the Tuesday. You know, that's how I think it would have been done. And there's other corroborating evidence, like the sniffer dogs were, for whatever reason, called off on the Thursday. So they weren't there over the weekend. And yeah, there's a whole bunch.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, if you're going to have a power down.
Sorry, say again.
If you're going to have a power down, you know, that also means the security cameras are all switched off as well. That's rather handy. Anyway, look, just let's just take a step back from all of this. Looking now at what's going on in the world, we've got a so-called war on terror, which is now turning into this apparent US and British ability to attack. We're now seeing an attack on Yemen, which looks to me like a war. Britain is at war with Yemen, apparently. It does seem as if this whole war on terror has just carried on. It's like, almost like George Orwell's Endless War. What do you make of the repercussions around the world for world peace that 9/11 has led to, Scott, if I can ask you that?
No, I mean, very much so. I mean, the whole situation with the wars that followed 9/11, I mean, that's kind of what woke me up. It was an article by John Pilger called "This War is a Farce," which he wrote in October 2001. You know, at the time, we'd about 3 weeks into the campaign of bombing Afghanistan, you know. And then obviously we had the ridiculous reasons for the war in Iraq, and then all the countries that followed. And I forget the general's name who there's a clip of him talking about how, you know, they had a plan to take out seven countries in 5 years. I think.
Oh, yeah. That's Wesley Clark. Yeah.
On the list. I mean, you know, that said, for me, my brother's death, it kind of dawned on me in that article that John Pilger wrote, that, you know, this is being done in my brother's name. And in fact, I think the last couple of lines are someone else saying that over in the States, saying, you know, this is being done in my son's name, you know, to someone who had died on that day. And that just didn't sit well with me at all. And still doesn't, you know, all the stuff that's going on and has continued to go on. And the more we learn, we know that so much stuff has been covered up over 22 and a half years now. That's the most frustrating thing for me, is successive governments, and we're talking both sides, you know, in the US, have continued to cover up and protect you know, people who are definitely involved in the attacks. And it's so frustrating to be in a situation where there's not been any, you know, as you would expect in a murder case, something gone to trial. It just hasn't. All litigation efforts have failed, or, you know, you've had people plead guilty, weren't really part of it at all, which is Zacharias Moussaoui. And you've got the never-ending Guantanamo Bay trials that just never seem to be going anywhere. And obviously they're only looking at one area of the attacks. And so there's just never been any justice. And so for me, you know, the one thing that I can do is just to try and get my brother's inquest reopened, because he you know, what he had was a joke. I mean, for 10 victims, it was all over in an hour and 40 minutes. And I said only 3 minutes was spent on him. It was a real sort of rubber stamp, cut and paste job by the UK coroner.
I suppose the wider worry here is that what we're witnessing here really is the end of the rule of law, a politicisation of the law. But look, can you just wind up by reminding us of the website where people can follow this case, and, but, you know, if they wish to, can donate, Matt?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I mean, yeah, so the easiest way is through ic911.org. Like I said, you know, we've got a massive target we're trying to reach, £60,000 by the 1st of March. You know, I didn't think we'd make it last summer, and we did in the last few days. And I'm just hopeful, you know, a lot of people have generously given already, that, you know, someone, you know, people, some with deep pockets, others not, can help us raise the necessary funds so that they don't, you know, basically stop us in our tracks. Because once the deadline's gone, there's nothing we can do. We cannot appeal this decision again.
Okay, Matt Campbell, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.